All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We'll have Chris Suggs come on up. And here we find the powerful words of Jesus after the Beatitudes. He's going to share with the multitudes that are following him what it means to be salt and what it means to be light to the world. And the audience understood it in a certain way, and sometimes we don't always see what they understood when Jesus spoke to them. So Chris is going to take a much closer look at what salt meant to the people back then, what I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what light meant to the people back then, and what it really means to us as Christ followers today. I've been reading this book, Insurgents, along with Seth Davis. He actually introduced me to the book. It's an excellent book, and he and I have been talking about one profound theme in that book, which is the fact that a lot of people like the idea of Jesus as Savior, saving them from their sins, but not as many people like the idea of the Lordship of Jesus. And if we're going to take the words of Jesus seriously when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, the challenges that he presents, then we can't just look at Jesus as Savior alone, but Jesus as Lord of our lives. Amen, church? That's what it's going to take. So, Chris, if you would, share this scripture with us on salt.
Before we start, Donnie, tragedy happens every day. Bad things happen every day. I want three volunteers to say something positive that happened today. This could be something positive. Something positive happens every day. You got out of bed today. I had three meals. What is something positive? I mean, three volunteers. Right here, Kata. Excellent. That is positive.
In case you didn't hear Cato through his muffled mask, he said that he was on E and he made it to the gas station this morning, and that's always a blessing. Don't let it drop below a quarter of a tank.
Over here, Dave.
The truck came on really nice and got warm.
Absolutely. That's a blessing. One more. Something positive. Someone over here. Yes, ma'am.
My patients are meeting their
goals. All right. Patients meeting their goals. Good. How many of you, when you got up today, thought about salt? Was it something on your mind? Did you think about it all day? Probably not at all. I don't think about it at all. I put a little bit on my eggs every now and then. But in today's society, we really don't think about it a whole lot. It doesn't affect us a lot day to day, just when cooking, our salt on the roads when they get icy. But it's not a big thing for us today in 2022. So we're going to start by reading Matthew. There we go. Okay, so we're going to start by reading Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Can salt lose its saltiness? Is that possible? I didn't know the answer to this. I had to look it up. I was like, I don't know if salt does expire. Salt can lose its saltiness.
Just to add to that, Chris, for those of you that remember our church dinners that we always used to do, we have a bunch of salt shakers and pepper shakers back there in the back. And I believe this Family Life Center came into existence in 2001. And I believe some of those salt shakers are still from 2001 because they aren't very salty. Some have been replaced, and you can tell the difference between those and a batch that has lost its saltiness.
So if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. If salt's not salty, what good is it going to do? It's going to do absolutely nothing. It's good for nothing. Back in the day, they would throw it out. They would throw it on the roofs. It was a despicable thing when salt lost its saltiness. Can we go to the next slide, Donnie?
Yeah, and I'll actually read this one, and I'll let you take it away. And going deeper with explaining what salt meant to the people back then and for us today. Matthew 5, picking up in verse 14, you, each of us, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So I'm going to let Chris take it away with salt, and then I'll come back up in just a little bit to share on light.
So a little bit about light. I was thinking that on the last slide, Donnie. How important was light back then? They didn't have lights like we have. They didn't have street lamps. Think about how important it was when there was light during that time period and how it must have been, you know, when, oh, gosh, I can see, because everything was probably black everywhere they went. So light was extremely important back then. So salt and light, the Beatitudes are followed by a summary statement of the basic character of a Christian's life as salt and light. How can we be the salt here on earth? What can we do to be important to those around us here on earth? Anyone? Not rhetorical. What can you do to be the salt on earth? I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It doesn't have to be getting up here with a microphone. It doesn't have to be going on a mission trip. Now, are those good things? Yes. It can be as easy as being polite to the McDonald's worker. When the Amazon truck guy comes, being polite to him, being respectful. Sometimes you don't know what people are going through. People have bad days, and you don't know, just being nice to them could prevent a suicide. You never know what's going on in people's lives. So little things, we can be the salt in someone's life. Why salt? Salt adds flavoring, acts as a preservative, melts coldness, and heals wounds. What happens when salt loses its saltiness? Salt was often put in ovens to intensify the heat. When the salt was burned off and no longer useful, it was thrown out on the road or on the rooftop where it would easily get trodden upon. Back then, salt was such a valuable commodity. Something we have today, we don't think about much, a refrigerator, a freezer. We put our meats in. They didn't have that back then. So what do they put on their meats? Salt, and lots of it. It helped with wounds. Obviously, it helped with cooking and flavoring, but it was a very important commodity back in biblical days. So Roman soldiers were at certain times paid with salt. How would you like to be paid in salt? You know, forget about my check this 2 weeks. Give me 400 pounds of salt, and we'll call it square. So you've probably heard the saying before, worth your salt. The word salary originates from Latin, salarium, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which referred to the money paid to the Roman army's soldiers for the purchase of salt. Salt was a precious commodity for trading, comparable to gold. Isn't that hard to think that it was that valuable, oftentimes compared to gold? Salt, something we don't even think about these days. Salt was a major ingredient in flavoring food. Sodium and chloride ions, the two major components of salt, are needed by all known living creatures in small quantities. Salt is involved in regulating the water content, fluid balance of the body. The sodium ion itself is used for electrical signaling in the nervous system. We don't think about salt at all, but it is important. Our body has to have a certain amount of it to sustain. Salt and water are used to heal various wounds and ailments. There weren't doctors like we have today. There weren't emergency rooms. They had to do their own kind of healing, so salt was a major component in helping them heal. Salt was critical in preserving food that were prone to spoilage. Excuse me. What's a bit? Apologize. So being the salt on earth, we've got a job each day. We've got to go out there and we've got to make a difference. And it's not the grand gestures that we have to do. It's us making a difference of being that salt, of being that light, of showing people that we're different. You are important. You being called salt, you're necessary to grow the Christian faith. So I want you to think about that when you go out every day. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Think about it each day. What can I do to be the salt to just one person? How can I be positive today to just one person? If there's more, that's great. But what can you do each day to affect one person?
If you think about the uses of salt back then with life and call of Christians today, it's very comparable. When you think about salt back then, you look at some of these things that Chris mentioned. Salt and salt water were used to heal various wounds and ailments. We know that when Jesus came upon people that needed to be healed when they were taking a bath in salt and the water was stirred for them. But our calling today is a little bit different when we think about being spiritual salt to a world that's dying around us. I think about that grief recovery seminar I mentioned last week that was so valuable. Mark, thank you so much for helping bring that to University City and talking to Melissa, Sears' dad, and getting him here. And I was able to use that as a platform for talking to my neighbor. I had no idea after I lost my mom that my neighbor had lost his dad just 2 weeks later. So when I got back a few weeks after losing my mom from St. Petersburg, he looked all depressed, mowing his lawn. I was like, yeah, it can be hot out there, I know. And he's like, no, that's not what's causing the depression. I lost my dad. I have no idea how to process this or handle it. I immediately dropped what I was doing and said, let's say a prayer. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I had known that at that time we were going to be bringing the grief recovery program, or at least the seminar here, to University City. So I said, hey, sometime in December, this is going to be happening. Will you come? He said, yes. Sure enough, he came, and I've been able to have a Bible study with him ever since. That's being salt to somebody that is wounded. And people sustain all kinds of spiritual wounds today, whether it be grief, whether it be somebody that's burning them or having burnt them in life. Whatever it is, we need to point people towards Jesus Christ.
And can I say something, Donnie?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Donnie comes up here, and he's always very happy and smiling. Donnie has bad days like the rest of us. Donnie lost his mother last year. I lost my daughter last year. It's not always easy to be the salt and light, but it's our duty as Christians, because you're going to have bad days. Tragedy is going to happen, but how do we become that salt each day?
And Chris, I want to thank you personally, because Chris was one of the first ones to call me after my tragic loss, and I was one of the first ones, I believe, to call you. And we spent many hours on the phone. Usually Chris and I are just joking around or talking about very non-serious things, and we spent hours on the phone crying together. And that was a very healing thing for each of us, I believe. Yeah, thank you, Chris. All right, I'm going to talk about light for a moment. People, plants, and animals are all drawn to light. During the start of COVID, I decided to surprise my wife. Sometimes that goes very well, and sometimes that goes very poorly. So what I did to surprise my wife is, she's a gardener. She's a green thumb, just like the shelves over here, or at least the female half of the shelves. Fred's pointing right at Susan. And so my mom absolutely loved your garden, by the way, and I think I've told that to you a number of times. But my wife also loved it, and so she wanted to get a garden of her own. So I built a box from Home Depot. For those of you that don't know, I'm not a builder. I'm not very good with tools, but I went ahead and built a 12-foot by 6-foot box in her backyard, raised garden. I had filled it with all the right soil, and I said, Julie, here you go. You can plant whatever you want. You can get those tomato plants going, all those other things you had been wanting to. And she looks at me and goes, what did you do? And I go, I'm surprising you. Surprise! And she looked at me and go, no, look where you built it. I put it under a shade tree. Not the smartest idea in the world. And so I said, okay, I'll fix this. So I moved the whole box, moved all the dirt. That was not even a day-long task. That took a little while to do. But I got that all moved for her. And being in the light, we know the plants grow towards, not just up, but towards the direction of the light. And the light shoots at an angle, so all the tomatoes are kind of leaning at that light. But we know plants need light, animals need light, we need light. I always try to get Mackenzie after school outdoors for at least an hour to enjoy the light. Also, light comforts, it warms and it promotes life. One of the other projects that I took on that I mentioned was building a fire pit. I know Caroline and some of the girls have a fire pit. It's a beautiful thing. That's where we had our testimony night. It was awesome there last fall, and I know you guys probably build more fires than that. Well, finally, we got one going, and hopefully I am not turning my 8-year-old Mackenzie and my 3-year-old Adeline into pyros, but I'm helping them enjoy the comfort of that fire, and they enjoy getting together, especially on nights like tonight, and making s'mores and doing those types of things. The light of Christ, however, came into the world to clearly shine. I'm going to switch back mics with you. Clearly shine forth into the darkness of a human heart and human condition. His light pours into us. And when his light pours into us, it cannot, absolutely cannot, be hidden from others. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If you look at the first thing Jesus says in talking about light, he says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. This is modern day Jerusalem. It cannot be hidden. But of course, it's lit by modern lights. It's surrounded by restaurants, by gas stations, by a lot of things they did not have back in the day. But if you think of old Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, and you think of the darkness that surrounded old Jerusalem, and as people approached that, all those different roads leading up to that city, think about even lamps that lit the houses, how refreshing and warming it was to see a big city like that off from a distance, knowing that you were almost there or that you were almost home. It made a lot of difference. And that is us today. When I went to Abilene Christian University, I would drive through about 300 miles of what seemed like desert, just rocks and dirt and sand and no lit road there on I-10. It was just dark except for the lights on my vehicle. And when I approached Abilene, Texas, it was beautiful to see that city, especially after wanting to fall asleep after driving 21 hours from St. Peter. I did that straight through one time. 21 hours from St. Petersburg, Florida to Abilene, Texas. I left at 4 a.m. and got there at 1 a.m. the next day. It was ridiculous. I would never do that again. But when I did that, it was awesome to see those lights on that hill of Abilene, Texas. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor can our lights as Christians. All right. I got some scriptures here for us to read. Kennedy, are you here? All right, Kennedy. Congratulations to Kennedy, by the way. She just got married, and she's back from her honeymoon. We're excited to have her back this week. If you would read for us 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7 on light. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. Thank you, Kennedy. And who has John 1:5 and John 8:12? All right. And I'm going to let you have my mic for a moment because I think the two ladies have a scripture after you.
John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness.
Yep. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth and comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
In just a moment, I've asked three different men to come on up, and each one at a time. Bill Braun and Alec Johnson, one of our new students. Alec, are you here? right there in the front row. Very good. He just transferred here from Hillsborough Community College in Tampa, and great to have him here as an engineer starting his first semester at UF. And then also, Mark's going to share with you guys, and I asked each of them to share who was salt and light to them in bringing them to Christ, and how they are salt and light to others. And of course, we know in so many ways, especially how Mark and Bill are salt and light to our church family and to our community, but we're going to let them share that with you guys in just a moment. Before that, I have a video, and we show this video once a year, and it's really like reading a mission statement. What is the mission statement for Gators for Christ? What is the mission statement for University City Church of Christ? Well, it should be what this video sums up. So we're going to play this video real quick, and then we're going to have them come up and share with you guys.